Track 3, Identifying Panic Disorder in Clients. On the previous track, we discussed three gradations of anxiety intensity, which were spontaneous anxiety, situational anxiety, and anticipatory anxiety. According to the Epidemiological Catchment Area Study, or ECA, approximately 5% of the population is afflicted with panic disorder. Of the patients seen by cardiologists, 10 to 14% suffer from this illness. Most commonly, it begins in adolescence, a time of decision-making and stressful choices. The average age of panic disorder onset is 26.3 years of age. As you are well aware, panic disorder is one of the DSM's anxiety states, or neurosis. On this track, we will examine three aspects to keep in mind when diagnosing clients. These three aspects are diagnostic differentiation, common panic disorder personality types, and panic disorder controlled by substance abuse. First, we will discuss the controversy surrounding panic disorder diagnosis. Today, there is a heightened debate over whether there truly is a difference between panic disorder and generalized anxiety. When I wish to determine the difference between the two, I find it helpful to examine the client's physical symptoms and the duration of the symptoms. The general symptoms of a panic attack vary from client to client, but I have found that the most common symptoms include respiratory complaints, such as shortness of breath and chest pains, nervous system troubles such as dizziness and tingling sensations, and gastrointestinal reactions such as nausea and abdominal stress. Panic attacks, I have found, last from 20 to 30 minutes. Those clients who experience panic attacks lasting for hours or more are very rare and require specific attention. Chris was 28 years old and referred by an ENT colleague with a complaint of dizziness and balance loss. A complete workup, including audiologic assessment, had all proved non-contributory. The doctors suspected an emotional cause. Chris's history showed his first episode of dizziness and unsteadiness to have occurred approximately 3 years previously. These attacks stopped after 8 months and returned 28 months later. After meeting Chris for the first time, I discovered that he had been having recurrent attacks of anxiety during which he trembled, felt dizzy and unsteady on his feet, and felt frustrated and scared. Chris's behaviors began to verge on agoraphobia, showing a decrease in his general activity and social interaction. This behavior was entirely due to Chris's fear that he would have an attack of dizziness if he went out. There was also clinical evidence of moderate depression. As you can see, due to Chris's symptoms and the duration of the attacks, I could clearly diagnose Chris with a panic disorder. Second, let's discuss the common personality type of those who develop panic disorder. 25% of clients afflicted with panic disorder share common personality traits of avoidance, low self-esteem, interpersonal hypersensitivity, somatization, hopelessness, and self-blame. Although many of these clients seem somewhat anxious and introverted, they are generally well-functioning. I have also found that these clients greatly value control and feel anxious at even a suggestion of loss of control. However, this problem is not necessarily the loss of control, but rather the need for too much control to begin with. Most notably, clients with these personality traits tend to be passive avoidant, which might contribute to their risk of developing agoraphobia. Dominic was a 30-year-old panic disorder client of mine. After having his second attack of chest pains, Dominic drove himself to the emergency room, where they assured him that he was in no medical danger. Over the next year, Dominic would experience episodic panic attacks, many times resulting in a trip to the hospital. Because Dominic's father died of a heart attack, he became increasingly afraid that he would die as well. His hopeless and helpless demeanor during these times were in direct contrast to his usual independent and productive personality. At work, Dominic was known as a bright, conscientious achiever who had excellent potential. He had just recently been given a promotion, and Dominic strongly wished his father could be able to help him through these problem-fraught times. Dominic's independence contrasted with the powerlessness he experiences during his panic attacks, which creates an even larger source of anxiety. Because Chris and Dominic's attacks were characterized by severe chest pains and tensions, I suggested they try the 1-8 count breathing exercise the next time they felt a panic attack coming on and help was still a few minutes away. I recorded the following instructions on tape so that they could play it when their breathing became shallow. Take a deep, slow breath and close your eyes. Exhale fully and completely, making sure to get the last bit of air out of your lungs. Breathe in again. As you inhale, try to see the number one in your mind. At the same time, focus on the inhalation. Hold your breath for 3 seconds. Exhale, and as you breathe out the air fully and completely, mentally say, 2, and visualize the number 2 in your mind. Breathe in again and mentally say, 3. Focusing on the number 3 and the inhalation. Hold your breath for 3 seconds. Exhale fully and completely while mentally visualizing and saying 4. Inhale, saying 5. Exhale, saying 6. Remember to visualize the number and focus on the inhalation. Inhale, counting 7, and exhale, counting 8. Repeat this entire sequence from 1-8. Slowly open your eyes. By concentrating on their breathing instead of on their symptoms, Chris and Dominic can learn to relax themselves while they wait for help to arrive. In addition to diagnostic differentiation and common personality types, the third aspect in identifying anxiety is its relationship to substance abuse. Often, clients who experience panic disorders take such substances as alcohol, methadone, or other harmful remedies to suppress the panic they fear will overtake them. Often, those who seek treatment for their alcohol or drug abuse are not receiving the right attention. They are treating their addiction and not the core of the problem, which are the panic attacks. Take a moment now and recall any of your clients who might be abusing substances. Could they be trying to keep their panic disorder at bay? On this track, we discussed various aspects to keep in mind when diagnosing clients. These were diagnostic differentiation, common panic disorder personality types, and panic disorder controlled by substance abuse. On the next track, we will examine how 4 different conditions are connected with panic disorder. The 4 conditions we will discuss are inner ear disorders, menstruation and pregnancy, mitral valve prolapse, and enzyme impairment. Also, I will discuss how to treat each condition separately from the panic disorders. Question 3. What are 3 aspects to keep in mind when diagnosing potential panic disorder clients?